You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. How can it be that the Most High of the universe is willing to make a covenant with you? How can it happen that a relationship with your Creator may succeed? Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study this theme, the promise, God's everlasting covenant. Lesson 4, an everlasting covenant. Our text for this week is in Genesis 17, verse 7. I, God, will establish my covenant between me and you. You is Abraham. And your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Yahweh and the Abrahamic Covenant. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, we read, "And he, God, said unto him, Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it." When we look at a map here, you will see Ur in the land of the Babylonians at the river Euphrates, and they had a stop at Haran. And there, Abraham left his descendants. Only Lot came with him. And then they continued to journey down to Palestine from there. Israel, as it is called today, the state in this area. So it was a long, long journey. This is the area of Iraq, Syria, and then you come down here to Israel. It's a long, long journey. Imagine all these goats and sheep and asses and camels which came along with them. Here on this picture we can see such a caravan going through the desert, carrying the loads on the camel's back, as it happened in old days. And why did Abraham do so? It would have been much more luxury staying there where he had been, in his hometown. He should have left all this safety because he wanted to start, God wanted to start with Abraham something anew. New. And this happened through a covenant. I, the Almighty, will make a covenant with you. We will work together that you will succeed in your life. But this was not easy. And because the relatives of Abraham, with those who came with him along to Haran, they had a combined religion. So on one side, they worshipped God, and on the other hand, they worshipped their gods of the country. So it was something, so a moving, shifting religion from one side to the other. Sometimes God, and then the other time, a god of the area. And therefore, Abraham should leave them. God wanted him to have a special trusting belief in the Almighty. Therefore, he had to leave those who would have undermined that. In those days, it was dangerous to go on a journey, but Abraham trusted in his God. El Shaddai. I read from Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so nearly 100, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Yahweh had already appeared to Abram several times before. Whenever he was in a state of uneasiness, when he did not know what should I do now, then God appeared to him in a vision and told him something very important, a promise. And in Genesis 17, in verse 1 to 6, we read this renewal of the covenant. And he got some renewals of the covenant because it took such a long time till the promise was fulfilled, having a son of his own. And after this text I've just read, we read in the next verse when God says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and you shall be a father of many nations. We wonder why the Almighty is willing to make such a covenant. He is the strong one, and Abraham is the weak one. Why should he make a covenant? What for? What's the sense of it? Abraham cannot support God, but God can support Abraham, and he will do so, he says. I am the strong one, and I will support you. Because he loves Abraham. And that's how God is. In these verses, we can read that God loves you, and he wants to make a covenant with you, because he loves you. And he knows you need him to have success, that your life will succeed, that you will be lucky and happy and so on, that you will be satisfied in your life. So he wants to make a covenant with you and help you to fulfill the promise. And he tells you what to do. And if you listen and you act according to what you have heard, you will be blessed. It's as simple as that. But it's not simple to follow the informations from the Almighty, because it's not so easy. Because when we look around to our friends, relatives, neighbors, we see, oh, they do not listen. So why should I? They all run into the opposite direction. Yeah, and look at the end, at the final end of them, of their existence? What will be the outcome? Do you want to end there where they end? Oh no, but it will be so if you act as they act. It would be good to act differently, wouldn't it? So, God's offer is an enormous offer. It happened the same to Noah, and he was saved with the ark, but it needed 120 years. Here it's a bit shorter, because Abraham was 75 when he was promised that he will have descendants, that God will multiply it exceedingly. And it took only 25 years, so not 120. So it was even shorter. But Noah had to do something, building the ark. And Abraham had just to wait. And this is not easy. But God shows him, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. Trust in me. From Abraham to Abraham. So this is a kind of fulfilling the promise, the changing of your name. In African culture, it's a habit when someone is baptized as an adult, then he gets a new name. Maybe before that, he had just an African name, and then he gets a name out of the Bible as someone he wants to look at, maybe Daniel or Moses or Abraham or whatever, so that he has someone in mind, I want to be like Daniel, Elijah, or whoever it is. And the name in the Hebrew Orient is a very important thing, because it's like the Indian language. They do not just give a name which means nothing, only syllables which sound in your ear, but the name has a meaning. Abram means that he is a special father above others, a very fine father, a noble father. But now Abraham means father of many people, although he hasn't got a son yet, but he has at least got the name for it, that he will have many descendants afterwards. And this significance of names we can see as a habit in the Hebrew nation. For example, Jacob, later on he was called Israel, as one who fights with God. And when Joseph in Egypt, when he was sold by his brothers and became then the vice regent there, the Pharaoh, when he lifted him up to be the second mightiest person in Egypt, he got a new name. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when Daniel and his three friends came there as slaves from Judah, they got new names, names of Babylonian gods. So changing a name is something very, very important. And for Abram, this changing of the name, it was something which reminded him, oh, my name is Abraham, father of many, people, many descendants. So God helped him in a way in changing his name. Trust in me, believe me, have faith in me. It will happen, although it takes time, because time is something we need to change our character. Because waiting time is something which refines us, makes us, when we are aggressive in the past, to softer persons, to more patient persons. Waiting time is important for the development of character. If you get it quickly, you don't care about it. It was so easy. But the more difficult it is, the better for us. The better for the development of our character. Covenant stages. In Genesis 15, we find the renewal of the covenant. And in Genesis 12, we find the first stage of the covenant. So this renewal of the covenant, it's like steps on a staircase. Another one, and you get up. And another one, and you get up. And another one. And in Abram's life, we see that this renewal of the covenant is something which helps Abraham to go on trusting as he trusted beforehand. You know, when something takes a very long time, it's difficult for us to wait patiently. The second stage was in chapter 15. And there, this is a very important chapter, the Lord appears to Abraham and tells him in verse 1, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham is in a way sick because of these words. Yeah, I've heard it many times. And covenant, yes, and descendants, and where? Where are my descendants? Do I have a son? And here he says, God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless. That's his problem. That's something which destroys the happiness of his life, being childless. And what will be the future? The steward of my house. Is this Elisha of Damascus? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. I have no son. So what do you want to give me? The one thing I would like to have, I do not get. So I do not care about sheep and goats and so on, and camels and asses and whatever. I am childless. Can you see that, Lord? You told me I will have descendants. And what's going on? And therefore, renewal of the covenant. Renewal. The third stage we read in chapter 17. Now Abraham is 99 years old. 99. So he's nearly 100 years old. And this is really a long time for him. He had waited for nearly 25 years after leaving Haran, which was in the middle of this long journey going down there. So there he was 75, and now he is about 100. And in this final stage, God tells him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Trust and wait and act. And the problem is, if you are childless and you become older and older, the chance of having a child disappears more and more with every year that goes by, doesn't it? So it's not just that you are always on the same stage with your body, especially your wife, which is 10 years younger. When you're 100, she is 90. It's a problem, isn't it? And another year, and another year, and the chance is there. The chance, it just disappears. But on the other hand, I will make my covenant with you. Covenant. Obligations. I read in Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. In such a covenant, it's fine when someone who is very strong is willing to make a covenant with you. So he wants to support you, and you are the one who is protected, who is supported, that's fine. But this stronger person tells you, this mightier person, that you have to do something as well, that the promise of the blessings will be fulfilled. You have to act according to the words you have heard from the Almighty. There are covenant obligations, and these obligations are important. And if you are not willing to fulfill them, no blessing you will ever see in your life. This is something we read here, which is an important promise. So if someone has discovered that it is a fine thing being together with God, having a friend in him, but it's only you. But if this goes on to your descendants, to your children, and to your grandchildren, that they continue this covenant because they have experienced and seen in your life how much happiness and blessings this will bring. And if they act according to what they have seen with you, you will be better off and they will be better off. So it's important what they can see in your life. The more you honor God and follow him, the more your kids will see, oh, that's something I would like to aim for too. I've seen my father in the morning praying at his bedside. I've seen my father in the morning reading his Bible. I've seen my father reading in the Bible in the evening, kneeling at his bedside. So he starts with the Word of God a day, and he ends the day with the Word of God. And then the decision for the next generation is easier when they see about your habits living with God, walking with God, how this works. And when they even see that it is not just reading, but acting, that it is a loving father who has patience with all the mistakes the children make, that they see he cares for us, he is patient with us, he loves us, he wants us to succeed, have success in life. They have their own will, but do you act in such a way that it is not so difficult for them to trust in God? Or do you act in such a way that it is really difficult for them to follow your advice? So God is someone who wants to help you to succeed, to have success, to be lucky. Summary. The story of Abraham shows us someone who lived there in the Babylonian area, and he trusted in God, who told him, leave your home country. And he left it. And where should he go to? To country God wanted him to show. He had no access to Google in the internet and to look, that's the area and there we'll go to, that's the climate, that's the cities, and so on. Nothing. He knew nothing about it. Only, I will show you something, God had said to him. And he trusted, had faith in this. And then he continued on his walk, on his journey. And here, he did the following. God told him to leave his descendants who wanted to stay there, not going on further. It's fine being here. They believed in God, but they believed in the gods of the area as well. So it was a combination, a shifting from one god to the other. Sometime here, sometime there. And Abraham had to leave them, to trust in God only, in God alone. And therefore he and his nephew Lot, they continued their journey down to Palestine. And that their trusting, which needed patience, of course, could go on and on and on. God renewed from time to time in visions his covenant with him. Once and again, years passed by, and God said, it's still, don't worry, it will work. Just go on trusting, believing in me, have faith in me. It will happen what I've told you. I've promised you. I am the Almighty God. I can do anything. Yeah, even creating a son when I am too old, even that. God is the creator. For him, it's nothing. But will he really do so? So therefore, we have covenant stages in the life of Abraham. Years after years, it's renewed, renewed. And that's the way how God works with us too. From time to time, he reminds us, I am your God. I have blessed you in the past, and I want to bless you in the future. Don't worry. I will be with you. Just listen to me, trust in me, have faith in me, go on trusting, go on believing in your God, the Almighty. I will do everything to bring you in the promised land. But there are obligations on your side. Trusting, being informed by God, and acting according to the information. And the more you trust, the more you act according to what you have heard, the more you will be blessed. So, if you have to wait for a long time, you learn patience. And patience is of high value for the development of your character. Patience helps you to get through the Stargate into the universe when Jesus comes again to take you there with his angels. We as human beings are not born for being patient. So we have to learn it. And we learn it when time goes by and nothing happens at the moment. But be sure it will happen. And Jesus will come again, and then you will see that all his promises will be fulfilled.